Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Last Sunday, probably in one of the different messages I was preaching during the service. Amen. I don't know if it was before, during, or after the offering, or before, during, after a song, but I made mention of this message or the thought that God had birthed in my heart, thinking, I guess, that I'd already preached it here. But I couldn't get away from it this week about the service this morning. So the Lord knows. Amen. The Lord knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're coming to the end of this, I guess you would say, controversial chapter. It shouldn't be if you just let the Bible speak for itself. But Paul is coming to the end of this chapter, and he seemingly summarizes in verse 31 what he was trying to get across and what he was trying to accomplish through this chapter. I want to read verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Now the gifts is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, covet earnestly the best gifts. I believe God's people ought to be coveting not what the world can give, but what God can give. I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting that Paul used that word covet in a good way. Most time it's used in a negative way about beware of covetousness and so forth. But here he's saying, but covet earnestly the best gift. Well, if we would get the same covetous desire to have the spiritual things God can give us, as lost people are, or many people are coveting what the world can give, we'd have revival. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And do you think that Paul would have said that if we couldn't have it? I remember I preached several messages on it. You can remember it as well. I preached on God's best. I preached on God's best out of that first part of that verse in light of this whole chapter. I want to look at the latter part of this verse. And yet, in other words, I've got more to say to you. I mean, it's good to tell you and encourage you to covet earnestly the best gifts. But he said, I've got something else I want to say. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Lord willing, I will try to preach on that subject there, talked about in the latter part of that verse, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And I want to try to preach on spiritual excellence. Spiritual excellence this morning. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the desire, Lord, you put in me when you saved me to be in the house of God, assembled with the people of God. I have no desire to be anywhere else today, this morning. Have no desire to be anywhere else even tonight. Lord, I thank you and I bless you for doing that and working that in me, Lord, when you saved me. Lord, a person that have very little to no desire to go to the house of God to meet with God's people, Lord, is a sure indicator that they've got a spiritual problem and probably lost. But I want to thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you hooked me up with your body and your family. And Lord, I thank you for that. And you let us know that that's a sign that we're saved, is we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Lord, lead our thoughts now. Guide us and help us. I cannot do what is now needed to be done. I cannot do in the energy of the flesh. I cannot do, Lord, basing my own experience, Lord, to preach in 31 years. I can't do that, Lord. I've got to have that fresh anointing, that fresh touch from on high that makes preaching effective, that makes preaching powerful. Lord, I know the devil hates what you're doing around here. I know that, Lord, there's no question, and he's going to fight, and he's going to try, Lord, to weasel his way into this thing and try to mess it up. But I pray we'll be on guard. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that our same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. Lord, I pray you'll take a hold of us this morning. Lord, I pray we'll run well, God, not for reputation, but for results, and that you would get the glory and the honor. Lord, save sinners and stir, God, the saints of the Lord. Deal and help our visitors today. Oh, God, do great and mighty things which you are capable of doing, which you desire to do, which you will to do. We ask you to do even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'll tell you what I could do. I could leave now. I could leave right now and get in the car, and it'd been worth coming to the house of God. Amen. Just feeling that touch, Brother Rogers, from another world. Nothing will ever take the place of that. Nothing will ever take the place of that. You get serious about prayer, you'll see great things happen in your life. You can't get serious about prayer without getting fired up, without getting stirred up, without getting excited, but without being filled with anticipation and expectancy. Amen. I'd encourage you to do that. Look at your prayer life. Get fired up about praying. Get excited about praying. Amen. Amen. Because when you do that, your whole spiritual life follows that. Your prayer, I don't know why I'm on that. I didn't read nothing about praying. Your prayer life is the steering wheel of your life. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter how big or powerful or no matter what kind of abilities a vehicle has, it's going in the direction of the steering wheel. Amen. So look at the steering wheel of your life. Look at your prayer life. If you can go days and days without praying, I promise you, you're off the main road. You're off of Main Street. You're on a side road. And probably if you'd have noticed when you got on that road, you'd probably noticed a sign that said, dead end. Probably what you'd have found. Well, amen. For whoever that was for, God help us. Well, of course, I'm preaching on spiritual excellence. You can't have it without a prayer life. Amen. We need to have folk that's interested in spiritual excellence in the area of prayer. Spiritual excellence and concerning the Word of God, concerning church, concerning service, concerning sanctification and so forth, concerning the spirit you're in. Twice in the book of Daniel, they noted one thing about Daniel. He was of an excellent spirit. That's what the Bible said twice, Brother Clipper, about Daniel. And it showed up in his prayer life, or rather, he was of an excellent spirit because of his prayer life. So maybe I wasn't off on a rabbit run there. Maybe we were where we needed to be. But I've never seen in my Christian journey, I've never seen such a departure from spiritual excellence. I've never seen such a disappearing of spiritual excellence. I've never seen such a disinterest in spiritual excellence. I mean, when I got saved, and that's not been too many years ago, but when I got saved, I want to tell you, God put something in me to want to go beyond the status quo, to go beyond the normal, the usual, and the average. God did that. God took me from not being interested in the things of God, not even wanting to go to church, run away from home over that issue, to saving me and putting in me a desire and a craving and a drive to go somewhere and be something for God. Amen. You can if you want to. Amen. I'm telling you, before God and this Bible, spiritual excellence is attainable. Spiritual, you say, oh, preacher, you don't know where I live and who I am, and you don't know this and that and the other. It doesn't matter what you bring in the equation. My friend, you can have spiritual excellence. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That's what Paul said. I've never seen such a plague of casualness coming into our churches. Amen. Going to church is no more than going to the movie theater for a lot of people. That's right. Amen. A lot of churches done went to the place. They done setting up coffee pots in the back of the church. Amen. Done bringing in the donuts and all that. I like that, but not in church. Of course, it ain't good for you nowhere. Amen. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to get the church as far away from tradition, far away from the old-fashioned way. They're trying to get the church so toned down, not only in appearance, but also in apparel, trying to get folk dressed down. Amen. Go to the house of God. Going to the house of God ought to be looked at with high esteem. And amen. Praise God. We're getting to go visit with the King. We're going to the King's house. We're going to the Lord's house. Yeah. I saw something the other day where the pastor of the church had said we're going to have a big pajama service. The pastor and everybody there had on PJs. You know what that is? You say, preacher, ain't nothing wrong with that. You really believe that? Nothing wrong with that. That's that casual, loose, lower the standards mentality. Let's not treat church no more than we would laid up on the couch at the house of God. They're trying to make church. Now, I didn't get on this. But they're trying to make church nothing more than a comfortable, casual theater. A place of entertainment. It's what they're wanting. Amen. Amen. Somebody, there have been about five or six asked me this morning, said, preacher, where's the big screen? Brother Brooks and different ones asked me, said, where's the big screen? And my mind was so far off of it, I didn't even know what they were talking about. I had to have it explained. You asked me about it. Visitor asked me about it. But I mean, y'all weren't the only one. There's several. Big screen. Where's the big screen? I wasn't even know what they was talking about. I looked up there and I thought, what are you talking about, big screen? And they had to fill me in, you know. Hey, Super Bowl. We're not going to dismiss service and watch it and have a big Super Bowl bang. What did I tell you, brother? That's right. You say, preacher, he's a visitor. You run him off. You don't know how he stands. I don't care how he stands. Amen. Amen. And I just got a good hunch. You like it. Amen. Amen. That's right. We're not interested in going that way. We're going to be having church tonight. Amen. Praise God. I'm thinking about driving all of my vehicles here just so that none of my neighbors would even slightly remotely think that I possibly stayed home tonight. I'm thinking about letting Lisa drive one and me drive one and getting my dogs to drive one. Get somebody to drive the motorcycle too. Amen. I don't want nobody to think I stayed home last night or tonight. Well, amen. I had to hit that a little bit. But I could have went the whole service and never even thought about it. Amen. That's how important it is to me. What I'm doing right now, what we're doing and where we're at, that's important to me. Amen. What'll go on tonight, win or lose, it don't make no difference. It'll be over in no time. Amen. Some will be shouting, some will be pouting, but it'll all fizzle out and won't mean nothing in about two or three days. But what's going on right now can change your life. What's going on right now, my friend, can chart the course of your spiritual excellence. Amen. Let you tap into something big, something great. Amen. Brother Mark, there's very few preachers I know in this country preaching what I'm preaching. And I'm talking about spiritual excellence. If you boil down why I preach what I preach, that's why. I'm trying to challenge you from where you are to get to where you need to be and walk a spiritual walk with God and enjoy spiritual excellence. By the way, can I say this? Does he not deserve it?
the precious Lord of glory that bled and died to purchase the church. He don't deserve a cold church. He doesn't deserve a carnal church. He doesn't deserve some casual thing. He deserves it to be on fire and excited, and a people whose heart beats for spiritual excellence. Paul's did. Paul said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. And you know what I'm preaching's right. Amen. Lord, give me this little thought last night. I thought about this. You can get in a condition personally, and we can as a church, generally, we can get in a condition to where you'll want what's less, what's lack, or less. Instead of wanting the greater, instead of wanting the superior, instead of wanting the excellent life, live that spiritual excellence, instead of that, you'll be wanting to tone it down and live loose. And you can get to that place where that would be your desires. That would be your desires, amen. I thought about this. The church of Corinth was majoring on the minors. They were making big deals out of the little things. They were making the smaller, the lesser gifts. And by the way, the list given in verse 28 and 29 and 30 are given in rank and order of their importance. And some that are being majored on the day are at the last of the list. They're on the bottom of the list. They were the smallest, the most unimportant. They were all important, but they were the most unimportant gifts of all. Or they were lesser in importance. But they were majoring on the big things. Or majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. That's why Paul said, whoa, you got this all wrong. You need to covet the best gifts. Amen. Boy, that's where we're at, Brother Ron. God's people are battling over what's going to be big in their life. Some of you here this morning, you wonder where your spiritual life is. I tell you what's happening. You're allowing big things to become little. And what should be little, you're allowing that to be big. And you got a battle over bigness going on in your life. Amen? Spiritual excellence. Oh, yeah. Well, I thought about this again this morning, Brother Craig. Even last night, I thought about how the devil lied to me. When you look at this verse, when he said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The word more is put in there to show comparison. Amen. If he just said, I want to show you an excellent way, that still would have been good. But Paul said, I want to show you a more excellent way. That is, anything you want to compare that to, it's better. What I've got to show you and preach to you and tell you is far superior to them what you've got. So you can look at it this way. You can look at it as Paul taking the church of Corinth, and he said, look where you're at and the life you're living. Amen. There might be a measure of excellence about it. But he said, I want to tell you about a more excellent way. In other words, I want to tell you how you can go to another level. I want to tell you how you can go to deeper depths and higher heights with the Lord. And that should be the interest of all of God's people. I don't believe God saves anybody and just puts you on a shelf and say, you can go into heaven, but you don't ever have to desire nothing from God. You don't ever have to do nothing for God. You're going to heaven anyhow. Listen, yes, you are saved by grace, and praise God for that. Saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, and thank God for that. Yeah. Hallelujah, I'm getting to go to heaven because of Jesus and what he did for me. Now, I want to tell you what's the truth, friend. James comes in and hooks up with Paul. The epistle of James hooks up with Paul. Don't contradict it. It hooks up with it. Paul said, I'm saved by grace through faith. And then James comes, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Then James comes in, hooks up after you get saved, and says, faith without works is dead. In fact, Paul finished it out in verse 10. I quoted 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. Verse 10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter what nationality. It does not matter your background. It does not matter who you're kin to. If your profession of salvation does not produce service in you, you are not saved based on the Word of God. Now that's stout. That's stout preaching right there. Amen? That's right. Praise God. Y'all might as well smile. Amen. But he's taking a church. He's taking a church and he's saying, look, I know where you're at. But he said, I know where you can be. And I want to preach in that direction. See, I as a pastor, I see where you are. And I know more than you think I know. And I see more than you think I see. I can't preach on everything I see, or I never would get nothing else preached on. In fact, if you'd live right, that'd help me out to be able to preach more of the Bible instead of having to nail your hide to the wall. Amen. So, preacher, I don't like you preaching all that. Well, quit living it. If you won't live it, I won't preach it. Amen. Y'all just swallow real good. It'll go down. I do a big pill, but it'll go down. Amen. But he's taking a people, he's taking a church, he's taking an individual, and he's saying, look, there's more for you. Church, it doesn't matter where we are as a church. It doesn't matter where you are, I am as an individual. There's more for us. Oh, God, help us to pray for it. God, help us to desire it. God, help us to seek it and say, God, there's a more excellent way I want it. Amen. But I thought about how the devil lied to me. I still get upset over it. Because he robbed me of 20 years that I could have given to Jesus. Amen. I mean, we're right in the period of time that it's my anniversary times. January 20th, was saved 31 years. Thursday night, February the 2nd, I surrendered to preach 31 years ago. This coming Wednesday night, February the 8th, I will have preached my first message 31 years ago. Amen. So I guess I got a good reason to act up a little bit. Amen. But I shout during the whole other time of the year. Amen. But the devil lied to me, Brother Craig. He lied to me about excellence. He said, I'm going to offer you this, and if you'll follow me and if you'll listen to me and you'll let me lead your life, I can do this for you, and I'll take you here, and you'll be this and that. And you know what? I thought he was telling me the truth. I listened to him. I let him lead my life for 20 years. And you know what? I never did see any excellence. I never did see no superiority. I never did see nothing except, all right, well, when is it? I've been following you all these years. When are you going to start? You're making all these brags and boasts, and you're telling me, and these promises you're making to me. When are you going to start coming true on your promises? Never trust a liar. And the devil is a liar and the father of it. Never trust him. He's not telling you the truth. Any voice, you say, preacher, I don't know if that's it. Any voice that's steering you away from spiritual things is the devil. Any voice, any thoughts that's steering you away from salvation, my friend, is not God, it's the devil. Any voice, any impressions, any thoughts, any friends that steers you away from sanctification and service is the devil. Amen. Not hard to recognize him a lot of times. But he lied to me. And Lord, give this to me this morning, Brother Brooks. The devil can't produce excellence because he is not excellent. God can promise and produce excellence because he is the foundation and source of excellence. In fact, you can go, and I don't have time this morning. I looked at them earlier, but you can go back in Job and all, and several verses in Psalms, and you talk about where David said, oh, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And David magnified the excellence of God. Yeah, God can promise and produce it. The devil can promise but can't produce because he himself is not excellent. He's just a liar. And he's just he is listen, a deceiver to get you to follow him and hopefully stay following him till one day you lift up your eyes in the very flames of an eternal hell. God help us. But he lied to me. He never did give me nothing except scars and regret and emptiness. Amen. Now listen, I've been around in this world a few years, and I've never met one that said, preacher, you know the devil, he told me this and this and this, and he produced it. You know, I've never met one that could give a positive credit to the devil that he performed what he promised. No, the case across the board 100% is he lied to me. Every young person that's on drugs, he lied to them. Every home that was busted up because of drugs and alcohol is evidence of people believing a lie. Amen. Oh yes, go out and in these big cities, go under the bridges and back in the alleys, and those people living under cardboard boxes, amen, that have no self-esteem and live every moment for another hit and another shot of liquor, my friend, or another pill. Those people are just laying there as evidence that the devil's a liar. That's why I preach against him. That's why I expose his tactics. We're not ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. I'm going to expose him. Amen. Amen. God help us. Spiritual excellence is not automatic. Let me get off that there a second. Spiritual excellence is not automatic. But it is attainable. Spiritual excellence is personal, but it is not permanent. It's not one of them, once you get it, you got it. No, when you start climbing different levels of spiritual excellence, the devil's going to try his best to knock you down. Amen. You say, but preacher, if that's the way it's going to be, then I'm not going to try, because if I try, it's going to draw fire in my direction. It's going to draw an attack in my direction. Oh, but you're forgetting one big component. You're forgetting one big thing, and that is David declared it when he went out against Goliath. Why was he facing Goliath? It's because he was going into new levels. He was walking a spiritual excellent life. And he went out and he said, the battle is the Lord's. Yeah. Amen. Yes, the fight will come. The battle will come. Amen. Oh, yes. And some of you that are lost here today, you're thinking, preach, I can't live that. I can't live that. That's the truth. Right. Amen. I know your mouth fell open right then, but I agree with you. You can't live it. No more than I could live it. No more than anybody else could live it. Amen. But I tell you, the blessed truth of the Bible is that when you get saved and you repent of your sin, the old man dies and God regenerates and resurrects a new man in you. And he lives that life out through your body. Praise the Lord. That's what spiritual excellence is anyway. It's just living the Christ life. Living the Christ life. Amen. Let me give you this. Hey man, I like this. Spiritual excellence is spiritual, not mechanical. So preach, what do you mean? If you're not careful, you'll think spiritual excellence is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And the Bible's got do's and don'ts in it. I think thou shalt not's pretty clear. Don't you think? But even all the thou shalt not's is for you. God is trying to say, look, those knots, you need to stay away from, because that's going to hurt your spiritual excellence. That's going to keep you in a low spiritual level. Amen. Thou shalt not. But then there's all the thou shalt. Yeah. Amen. It's not automatic. It's not mechanical. You don't attain spiritual excellence just by going to church, just by doing certain things. Amen. You listen, you attain spiritual excellence through the Spirit of God and a surrendered life. Amen. That's right. Amen. God help us. Listen to this. I don't have time to deal with it, but Romans 2, in verse 17 and 18, God was dealing with the Jews. Paul was dealing with the Jews, and he said, you know the law. You know the law. And he said, you approvest the things that are excellent. He said, you know what's excellent. And you've even approved that they're excellent. But you know what he went on to deal with? Though they're in your head, they're not in your heart. He said, you in Romans 2, he went on to talk about how that you preach, but you don't practice. It's not too excellent if you don't practice it. Amen. Yeah. Would you think much of me if I had a pie setting up here and I thought, oh, Brother Rob, man, this is good pie. Oh, this is wonderful pie. And Brother Rob said, well, have you eaten any of it? Well, no. You know what that did? When I said no, that canceled everything I said about the pie.
Right.
Amen. Those Jews in Romans 2, they said we know, and they did know. They had a lot of head knowledge, but they didn't know anything from experience. Paul said, you've approved the things that are excellent. It was a law to them, not a life. It was something recorded, but it wasn't real. It was something printed, but it was not practiced. Amen. Spiritual excellence. Are you interested in it? God's people ought to be interested in spiritual excellence. Amen. I know I'm back and forth from sinners to saved, but if you're here lost, I'm telling you, the life Jesus can give you is an excellent... Hey, no, let me use the Bible term. More excellent. It's more excellent than the life you're living. Amen? Could we have a Bible testimony? What about the woman at the well? She'd come to Jacob's well, brought her pot every day, and she thought, man, if you'd ask her, how's that water? Oh! Man, it's wonderful. Woo, it's good. Cold, crisp, clean. Comes from deep down. But Jesus said, if you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. But if you'll drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again, neither come hither to draw. Amen. Another, you know what happened, Brother Tim? You know what happened? Brother Craig, she got hooked up with the more excellent. Amen. Jacob's wasn't good. It was just a more excellent way, more excellent water. What about John 6? Those people eat them 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they were hungry, and you probably could hear them bragging about it. Whoa, man, these hush puppies and stuff is good. He's good. But then Jesus said, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. And if you eat this bread, you'll never hunger again. In other words, a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Amen? Are you interested in a more excellent way? The word more excellent, let me give on, spent too much time there, but the more excellent means a throwing beyond others. It's a word of comparison. It's a word that shows superiority. A throw beyond others. A throw beyond. In other words, this excellent life, Brother Henry, that Paul is trying to deal with the church of Corinth about, this excellent life is one that is above and beyond the life that you're now living. You say, what, preacher? You mean the Lord can take me above and beyond where I'm at? Oh, yes. The problem is, or the question is, do you want it? Amen? Paul didn't say, now I'm going to make you. Paul said, I'm just going to show you. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Listen to this. This is good. Hebrews 1 and verse 4, we have these two words together. Talking about Jesus in Hebrews 1 and verse 4. Let me read it to you. Listen to this right here. Talking about Jesus. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Is Jesus' name more excellent than angels? Huh? More excellent than the prophets? In fact, the key word to the whole book of Hebrews is better. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Moses. He's better than the angels. He's better than the law. And here he's saying in verse number 4 that he's obtained a more excellent name. In other words, when you bring into comparison, he rises to another level. It's also used in Hebrews 11 in verse 4 about Abel. When Abel, the Bible said, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, when it come down to the comparison, Abel's sacrifice was more excellent. That is, it went above and beyond. Of course, we know because it was offered by faith and it was a blood offering. The innocent dying for the guilty. And Cain's offering was the works of his hands. And I'm talking about that excellent, more excellent. No matter where you're living spiritually, there's a more excellent way. You'll never outlive that. Hello? You'll never outlive that. You'll never get too old to say, well, I've done seen it all, heard it all, done it all, had it all. Now I'm just going to kind of coast my own way in. No. No, friend. You don't outlive your usefulness. As long as you're breathing, God's got a purpose for you. As long as you're breathing, God's got a plan for you. Caleb found that out. 85 years old. He said, I want that mountain. And he got it. The Bible said in Psalms, was it 92, when it talks about the palm trees, yet the righteous shall flourish like the palm trees. Amen. Did you know palm trees never outlive their usefulness? In fact, they grow the tallest, they stand the tallest, and they bear the sweetest fruits in their latter years than they did in the earlier years. Amen. Praise God for you that are here today and you're up there in that age bracket. And you know what? And you're still going to church. You're still carrying a Bible. You're still identifying with Jesus. That impresses me. That blesses me. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to see nobody quit, but it sure bothers me to see somebody that's walked with God for years start to stray and start to coast and start to relax and all of that. No, there's a work to do. If nothing else, pray for me. There's a work to be done, Brother Ron. I've heard you say, preacher, I got saved later in life. I got saved at 71. He said, preacher, I don't have much life left, but I'm going to do what I can. Brother Ron, you're a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Do what you can with what you've got. If you'll do what you can, God will do what you can't. Amen. You can make a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 talks about a more excellent ministry. Let me move on. I got to move on and deal with this. The word way, I got curious about, everybody paying attention? Amen. Get you a good night's rest on Saturday night. You can stay awake in church Sunday morning. Amen. That's right. Hello. Amen. Say, oh, preacher, I was praying for you. I doubt it. I've been preaching 31 years. I know what the spirit of slumber looks like. Amen. I've had it to hit me before. Amen. Try it. Well, that's right. The devil won't hold no bars, buddy. He'll hold nothing back on just getting you to where you just about half unconscious during the house of God, so you'll miss out on the preaching. Amen. That's right. Well, we're having a good time, I think. A more excellent way. What's a way? The word way means a route, a road, a course of conduct. He said, preacher, you could have preached all morning without hitting that. You mean, preacher, a more excellent way is practical? It involves my practice. It involves me walking in it. That's exactly what it means. The more excellent way is practical. It's not just something professed. It's where it's the road that you're traveling. The more excellent way is a route, a journey, course of conduct, a road. Listen to this right here, give you a word. The first time that word way is used in the New Testament is found in Matthew 2 and verse 12. Talking about the more excellent way. And being warned of God, talking about the wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Here it is, another way. You say, preacher, does it matter if I'm on another way or the more excellent way or if I go the old way? Well, what do you think? If you take that story in Matthew 2, had they returned the old way, it would have meant Jesus dying. Because Herod wanted them to bring word back to me, tell me where he's at, and I'm going to go worship him. He didn't want to worship him, he wanted to kill him. Amen? Wanted to kill him. Amen? That's exactly right. But that is a classic example of the comparison between the old way, which is Herod's way, and the new, more excellent way. God said, I don't go that old way. That'll have negative effects on Christ. Yes, right. The devil wants to use that old way. Don't go the old way. Go this way. And they departed another way, which was a more excellent way. Oh yeah, if you listen to God, friend, He'll lead you into a more excellent way. But if you listen to the flesh and the devil and friends, many times will tell you to go the old way. Live after the old flesh and the old life. That's all the devil says. Let me give this right here and I'll be done. I'm not near where I needed to be or wanted to be. Listen to this right here. Listen. Here it is right now. Simple as it can be. The more excellent way, number one, is recorded in God's Scripture. I said, preacher, you've been preaching all this time. You're just getting to number one? Yeah, but if you'll listen quick, I'll get through them quick. Because these are just very, very basic and very simple. The more excellent way is recorded in God's Scripture. You say, preacher, what is the more excellent way? Right here it is. The whole thrust of everything in this book is to get you hooked up, receive the more excellent life, and walk in the more excellent way. Live for the more excellent Lord. Right here it is. The Word of God is the will of God, printed. Amen? Right here it is. How could you possibly be interested in the more excellent way when you never read the Bible? Hello? Hey, I'm talking about Rogersville Baptist Temple. Whatever day this is in February 2012, there's people sitting right here that names the name of Christ, hadn't read the Bible all week. How could you possibly be interested in and be experiencing the more excellent way when you don't even read the Word of God? And then there's another step even above that is meditation. Stepping above just reading it. You can read it, friend, and your mind not even be on it. When's the last time, listen, come on now, when's the last time you got out a piece of paper before you started reading and said, Lord, give me something. Show me something. Feed me with something. This book's alive, friend. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When's the last time God gave you something in your personal Bible reading and you wrote it down? Yeah, that's right. And if you're like me, if you don't write it down, it's gone. Oh, I don't know how many times I've got some things, good thoughts during the night. Boy, that's good. I'll remember that. And I think, well, I'll just lay here and I'll just get up in the morning and write it down. It's gone. Hey, man, I'm talking about good stuff. Good. Amen. Good. And it's gone. When's the last time God gave you something? Hello? You ought to be taking some notes. You ought to be taking some notes. Listen through the preaching. Amen? I know that, and this is not real encouraging to me, but most people don't get but a small percentage of what they hear. That's why I have to preach 2.5 hours so you get 10 minutes worth. I'm just kidding about that. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. I'm talking about the more excellent way. Listen, the more excellent way is printed in God's Scripture. Number two, I got to hurry. I could have preached the whole rest of the message on that. Number two, the more excellent way is not only recorded, is the word I wanted to use, recorded in God's Scripture. Put this word in the shoe leather and you'll live the more excellent way. Number two, it is revealed, not only is it recorded in God's Scripture, but it is revealed in God's Son. If you want to know what the more excellent way is, look at Jesus. Amen. I know people took that WWJD and went out and left field with it, but it started out to be a good thing. It started out to have a good thought behind it and a good drive and a good desire behind it. And I'll tell you, if you live by that, and we'd all live by that, it'd sure help us. It wouldn't hurt you. When you look at your language, ask yourself, would Jesus use those words? Would Jesus say this to that person? Ask yourself. Because God's excellent way is not only recorded in Scripture, but it is revealed in God's Son. Look at what Jesus would do and how He acted and what He would say. Would Jesus lay out of church and watch a Super Bowl? That's simple. Hello, I just had to hit that again. Amen. I mean, would He? I mean, somebody would have not even no sense would have to say, well, you know what? I believe Jesus would probably go to church. But I mean, you can take that mentality all the way through. I mean, look at what would Jesus do that? Somebody asked a little girl, said, what's a Christian? He said, and the little girl thinking, I think she was 8 years old, if my memory is correct on that illustration. She said, well, I think a Christian is, I think it's just being what Jesus would be if He was a little girl and living in this house. Amen. Amen. After all, that's what Christian means, isn't it? Be Christ-like. That's right. Amen. Would Jesus go around immodest? Did He ever go around immodest? The only time that there was ever any immodesty about Christ was when He was being crucified. And the Bible says that it was a shame.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
It's what the Bible says. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the shame? Hanging between heaven and earth as an open spectacle. My friend, a spectacle to society as people looked at Him. And there He was with no clothes on. That was a shame. And nakedness has always been and ever has been and always will be in this life a shame. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I nailed that pretty tight last Sunday. I don't guess I need to hit it again. But listen, this church, by the grace of God, Brother Kruchko, this church is going to go in the more excellent way.
Amen.
I'm going to preach in that direction. I'm going to preach in that direction. I don't know of anything that I preach that would hurt you. I don't know of anything that I preach, if you practiced it, it would be detrimental to your Christian testimony. Why? I'm preaching for you to walk and experience and enjoy the more excellent way. I got to hurry. Everybody listening? Not only do we see it recorded in Scripture and revealed in God's Son, but it is also required in God's saints. The more excellent way, friend, is not given as an option. It's not given, Brother Craddock, as a suggestion. Amen? It's not given as a good idea or a recommendation. When it's the more excellent way is a requirement. God requires that in God's saints. Amen? Sure He does. And then I like this. Don't lose this. Yet show I you a more excellent way is given in a chapter dealing with the Spirit of God and spiritual gifts. Here's your another point. Not only is it recorded in God's Scripture and revealed in God's Son, is required in God's saints, but it also is reached
through God's Spirit. The more excellent way is reached and attained and experienced and enjoyed through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not your enemy. The Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit is? You know what He does? His ministry is multiple. I mean, it's varied. It's to conform you into the image of Christ. We know that. But you know what else it is? You know, we shout about that verse in 1 Corinthians 2. I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God hath in store for them that love Him. We say, whoa, hallelujah, glory to God. But that's not future. Not in the context. That's not future, because He comes right into the very next verse and talks about that those things that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, those are the things that are revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can take the deep things of God, yea, the heavenly things, and my friend, make them real in you now. Amen. Spiritual excellence is reached through God's Spirit. Amen. And then last, it's reported by God's servants. A true man of God, friend, is not going to make you feel comfortable in your sin. Hello? This is the last point. I'm going to just hit this lick too and we'll go home. Brother Craig, you sleepy?
Almost.
But you got a reason. You worked all night. There's people in here sleeping right now. They ain't worked none. Hey, man. If it wouldn't tire the service up, I'd throw a songbook at them. Hey, man. Bothers me, Brother Kruchko. Study, pray, get God's message, get God's mind, come to church, and people can't even stay awake.
Amen.
Now, buddy, they'll transform as soon as I say you're dismissed.
Yeah.
I guarantee you nobody will have to go to them and say, hello, service is over, yeah. Wake up.
You can go home now.
Yeah. Preaching's done. No, buddy.
Rich. Bless
the
Lord.
Amen. Yes. I tell you what we'll do. Lord, let your hide up here and teach some, preach some,
yeah.
And let people pass out on you and see if that encourages you. God, listen, last, I'm talking about it. Spiritual excellence is reported by God's servant. Do you see what Paul said? God's man said in our text, God's man said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. God's man's desire is to show the people of God the more excellent way. Is it popular? No. Do I get extra points for that? No. Do I get an extra bonus for that? No. Brother Kruchko, what do I get? Extra problems, extra ulcers, extra burdens. People hate me, people leaving. A man of God that'll preach spiritual excellence in your life. My friend, he is interested in what God's will is for you. He's not just interested in a paycheck and a benefit. He's not just interested in you sitting on a pew adding to the number. Amen. That's right. If I wanted to find a church to go to, I'd find out what preacher's preaching righteousness. I'd find out what preacher's preaching righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Was he popular? No. Did anybody listen? Very few. Only his family. Seven other people besides himself. Not popular. And not everybody's interested in it. Amen. How many people, like Brother Tyler, boy, God's using Brother Tyler. He's growing leaps and bounds. And hallelujah for that. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I see me in him. I mean, I see me in him so much. Things he's doing, things, some of them big steps he took right off the bat, Brother Roger, I see me in him. Amen. Praise God. God, you'll take big steps. God will let you make some big progress. Amen. Oh, listen to this real quick. It's reported by God's servant. It's revealed to be God's servant's desire. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Paul's wanting to help them. Paul's wanting to take them to another level. Paul's preaching dealt with them where they were and took them, or was trying to take them to where they needed to be. You see God's man's desire. You see, secondly, God's man's declaration. Paul didn't just say, I think it. He said, I'm going to show it to you in verbal form. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to preach it to you. You ever wondered why a preacher never preaches against sin? Is he really getting his messages from God? I tell you why he's not preaching on it. A lot of them are hirelings. Listen. I'm in a good church, or used to be, not far from this very place I'm standing. People that used to embrace righteousness and the truth and separation. I had one of the men of their church tell me, because I was thinking about, well, I ain't going to go there. I had to give it away. Amen. It's hard to give illustrations when they're close. But he told me, Bobby, he said this. He said, you can't build a church now preaching. You can't build a church preaching if you preach it the way the Bible lays it out. He said, they won't, nobody come. He said, they won't take it. They won't have it. They'll leave. They'll go elsewhere. And you will be left with nothing. Amen. You know what? I thoroughly disagree with that.
Amen.
Preaching is what got me in, Brother John. Preaching got me in. Amen. I wasn't, listen, come on now. I mean, preaching got me in. Yes, sir. I was in a service one time. Brother Randy Bain was one preaching when I got saved. And I'd been saved a few years. And I was in a service in a revival where he was preaching. And God told me, said, I want you to go all the way up front. And this place was jam-packed full of people. And I was way on back, about three-fourths of the way back. And God said, I want you, and he was on the front row, about where Samuel's sitting over there. He said, I want you to go up there and shine his shoes. Son, you talking about having to deny the flesh. I mean, I love him. I love him dearly. He's my spiritual daddy. God, he's preaching, and you know. But the Lord said, I want you to go up there and do that. And I said, well, I tried to talk the Lord out of it, you know. And I thought, well, you know, his shoes look pretty good from here. But the Lord didn't want that, Miss Jan, because his shoes was dirty. The Lord wanted me, one, to humble my prideful self. And the two, to show honor to the man of God. Wasn't worship. And so finally when I got to the place where, well, here it goes. It's all or nothing now. And I went down there and I got down in front of him. And I'm telling you, I began with, from my heart, from sincerity. And I looked up at him with tears running down my face. I said, thank you, preacher, for preaching to me. Thank you for preaching to me. Hallelujah. And brother, I don't know what happened for about another hour. All I know was that if you got in the aisle, you could have got run over easily. There was people running and jumping and shouting and praising God and amen. You say, preacher, what was? I think it was just denying self and trying to be obedient to God. Amen. I think that was it. You'll never do much for God to embarrass your flesh. God telling you to do something, you say, well, preacher, what would they think? Then God's probably telling you to do it. Amen? It's not what it's not your ability he's after. He says your availability that he's after. But it's reported by God's servant. It's his desire. Number two, it's his declaration. He's going to preach it. Somewhere he's going to preach it. And then it was his demonstration. He said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Wasn't just verbal, but it was visible. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and I'll show you. The word show means to expose to the eyes, to give evidence. Amen. Paul said, you hear it, you can see it. Well, that's what I'm supposed to be, Brother Kruchko. I'm to preach it, but I'm also to practice it. Amen. And if a person's not preaching it, and I'm not talking about preaching it every service, blowing people out all the time. You know me better than that. I don't do that. But if God leads me to preach it, I'm going to preach it. Amen. And I want to do it with the right spirit. I want to do it with the right attitude. Amen. I really do. But I want to see you grow. I want to see you go to another level. There is a more excellent level. And I want to not only preach it, But I want to present it to you in practice. I want to be able to show you in lifestyle. Amen. It's not what I can get away with. Are you listening? It's not what you can get away with and do in secret and private and nobody looking. That's not it. It's being an example. I'm to do that, Brother Kruchko, to this church. But I'm also, as a daddy, to do that to my family. Parents, let me ask you a just simple question for you to think about. Are you showing the more excellent way to your family? Daddies, are you showing the more excellent way to your families? Husbands, are you showing the more excellent way to your wife and children? Mom, you showing the more excellent way to your children? Can they look at you and see a pattern and they see an example? This is what I need to do. Not just in attitude, but in appearance, the whole nine yards. Are you showing the more excellent way? Is this church going to show the more excellent way? Amen. I try to preach in that direction. I try to do that. But do you know what? Listen. When you live a life that contradicts what's preached here, you're what's that doing? What's that doing, Brother Clipper? When people, you know, puts all kinds of things all over their internet, you know, and Facebook and stuff that goes completely against what we preach here. What does that do, Brother Craig? What does that do? I mean, they know. Listen, I've been here almost 19 and a half years or so, and people around here knows me. They know how I stand, what I preach, and of course we get lied on a lot. Amen. We've had people come here and they said, "Preacher, what we've heard ain't true." I said, "Oh hell, you should have called."
That's right.
Amen. But I'm not going to go around chasing lies. Amen. I'm just going to live for God. I'm just going to try to live for Jesus. Amen. But I want this church to be a living testimony and show forth the more excellent way. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet.